Welcome to Stepping Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Stepping Out.
Welcome to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Mike, and this is Stepping Out. Every week, Stepping Out takes you inside a 12-step meeting, and we're focusing on young people in recovery. Today, more and more people are getting help for their addictions at an early age. Many of them turn to 12-step programs in their 20s. Some are still in their teens. The majority of them still have their jobs, their educations, and their families. Many have never been in jail or committed to institutions, but the results are still the same. They recognize that they have the disease of addiction. They hit bottom just like anybody else has to, and they're able to start a new life from the same place as anybody else in a 12-step program does, their last drink, their last drug, or what have you. And tonight we have a room full of young people, enthusiastic young people, I might add, and they're going to take us through their stories of addiction and recovery. And first up, we have Justin. How you doing tonight, Justin?
I'm good. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Care to introduce yourself?
I'm Justin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Justin.
It's good to be here on Stepping Out.
Where's it start for you? Where's your drinking begin for you?
I first started drinking at the age of 14. I was in high school. I was a freshman in high school. I remember my first drunk, it wasn't the, this is it moment that a lot of people talk about, but for me, it was kind of like my mom was one of those moms who thought you should have some booze in the house for your kid, so that they don't drink outside the house.
Right.
And so she got me this big bottle of wine and was like, okay, this is for you to have for a little while, for an extended period of time, you know, and now, so you don't go out and drink. And so the day I got it.
Were your parents drinkers or were they alcoholics?
Oh, no. My parents divorced when I was six, but they were both like very, you know, very straight, you know.
Teetotalers.
Not teetotalers, but they definitely did not, they were not alcoholics or addicts. They just were pretty normal. But when I got that bottle, I drank it all the first night. And passed out.
There's a telltale sign right there, huh?
Yeah, just all down the hatch the first night, and I went to bed, and it was loads of fun. But yeah, I mean, I from there it was just kind of hanging out with friends in school. I was kind of the weekend warrior. I would go to parties and drink, and you know, we got into other things. We got into marijuana pretty early on. And it wasn't the problem that it was later then. I mean, when I was in high school, I was still very focused on, you know, getting to a good college and, you know, getting on with my life. So I didn't really let it get in the way that much. And I was a really good student. And I was a two-sport athlete and student government, you know, vice president, all those things. Very, very good on paper. but all that time I wasn't really, there was always something wrong. Like I had this one friend in high school that always said, you know, every now and then you get these like bad mood swings, man, where like you're real down for like 2 weeks and you're just unapproachable and unconsolable. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is.
Imagine that, an alcoholic with mood swings.
Yeah. Right.
Who would have thunk it?
That was high school. Senior year came around. I applied to colleges. I had one place that I wanted to go that my parents thought wasn't good enough. So I was like, fine. And I applied to like all these really fancy schools that they thought were good enough. And I got into pretty much all of them, chose one of them, big name, very reputable, very prestigious.
And how old are you at this time? About 18?
Yeah, 18. Okay.
And your drinking and drug use is still primarily on the weekends? It's nothing heavy duty yet?
It's accelerated a bit, but it's not, it gets way heavier. But I think when I got into school, when I got into college, it was kind of like, okay, I can chill out now.
Mm.
This part is done. I can let loose a little bit. And then it started to pick up a lot more. You know, I started doing more drugs. I started getting into stuff aside from marijuana. I started using mushrooms and ecstasy and LSD and
okay,
amphetamines, you know, all sorts of things.
And where did you happen to acquire these dry goods, as we've had other speakers on the show call them?
The dry goods. Just from friends in school.
They were just floating around campus?
Yeah, it wasn't hard to find. I mean, and it's funny because when I was in high school, I wasn't one of the burnouts, as they called them. I was kind of pretty straight and narrow, but I always knew there was always that group of kids that you knew. And then I figured out, oh, I can get this stuff from them. So
now, even in high school, when you weren't one of the burnouts, were you always attracted to that crowd? Did the rebellion kind of interest you?
There was an allure that those kids had, you know, like the kind of, you know, devil may care attitude. They just kind of like, there it was something mysterious that right. was kind of romantic about it. So yeah, there was a draw for me.
You're an alcoholic and addict waiting to happen, in other words.
yeah. I wish that I'd known, but I didn't. Apparently I was born this way, which has actually worked out for the better for me. So I went off to school, and you know, most people when they go to college, it's like, all right, I'm going to do really well. I'm going to study. This is really important. First thing I thought when I got to school is, all right, I need to establish myself as the party guy, you know? Like, for a little while, I was going to class and getting good grades, and then, like, the midterm hit, and I came home for a friend's sister's wedding, and we just really, really went at it that weekend. And I came back, and it was kind of like, I had this paper to write, and I was like, let me go out instead. You know, I went out, and that was pretty much the end of me doing schoolwork.
Okay. Was this still the first semester?
It was still the first semester.
Okay.
End of the semester comes around. I failed everything. I failed all my classes. The school didn't like that very much. They said, you need to go away for a little while, and you can come back in a year if you've shown us that, you know, you've kind of gotten your stuff together.
Explain to the audience out there, what were your grades like in the beginning, in the first part of the semester, and then towards the end, what did they drop down to?
Oh, I had A's and B's, and they went from A's and B's to F's okay. all across the board. So, I mean, for me, I was always a very smart kid, always a very good student, but priority became, you know, drinking and using.
Now, did you just lose interest in your studies and say, okay, I'm going to substitute this time with drinking and drugging? Or were you just totally obsessed by drinking and drugging? That's what took priority and everything else went by the wayside?
There wasn't even any thought of all my, you know, prior interests, you know, all the
okay.
things that I had interest in academically, extracurricular activities, none of it. I mean, it just kind of, it didn't even go through my mind.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all just went away. So that was not good. And my parents were not pleased. I had to move back home, and go into therapy and all that. And
now, how tough was that to basically come out of being on your own in a college dorm? And you said it yourself, you're the man. You're the go-to guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that people are getting their alcohol and drugs from. What was it like to have to give all that up and then go back home and basically surrender, so to speak, to your parents? You have to be under their roof again.
It was hard. It was really depressing. You know, I kind of had the world at my feet, and it was all gone. So the only thing to do was to continue drinking and using. I had some friends that were still in the area, so I would hook up with them, and we'd do our thing. And
now you have to drink and use without your parents finding out?
Yeah. But that was successful sometimes, not so much other times. So my parents finally discovered, you know, there was something wrong with their son. That went on for probably like 6 months. And first, the course of events that led me to my first stab at recovery was I had been on this bender with LSD for like a week. I'd been taking LSD for like every day for a week. And
what's it like to be on LSD for a week straight?
it's an experience.
Lots of pretty colors, huh?
Yeah, lots of pretty colors, lots of scary things,
hey,
too.
I hear some laughter in the background. Is that laughter of identification?
I think it may be. It was definitely scary. I mean, I remember that during this week, I decided I was going to go back up to New England where my school was and to visit some people. And I was so high that I got lost. And I had driven this road dozens of times. And I got lost somehow. And I ended up, I was going past a rest stop. And I was like, oh, I need cigarettes. And I like just made a turn and ended up stuck on a median.
Ouch.
Yeah, that wasn't no good. That wasn't any good. Got stuck on a median. AAA game got me off the median. Went back. Went to a CVS, tried to shoplift some condoms and some film. I guess I was going to have sex and take pictures, too. got caught by the cops, got arrested.
Was it on camera?
I don't know. Got arrested. Friends bailed me out.
Oh, you got caught during the shoplifting.
Yes.
Okay, so
caught during the shoplifting.
So
yes.
The camera and the condoms
never
were
got to put. Never got to put them to use. No. A few days later, end up. You know, my mother had been out of town. She traveled a lot, and I had the house to myself. So of course, I was partying. The house was a wreck. One day, it occurred to me, I'm going to go buy some cars. This is me on acid thinking I'm going to go buy some cars with what money, I don't know. So I go to this car dealership. I'm like talking to the guy. I'm like, yeah, this is really nice. It was an Audi dealership. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get this Audi with my no money. And my mom gets back from wherever she was, calls me on my cell phone, says, you know, where are you? The house is a wreck. I'm like, I'm at the Audi dealership. I'm buying a car. And she came and got me and took me to the psych ward. So I was in the psych ward for a while. Got out, you know, and then I kind of got forced to get my stuff together. I went to treatment, went to outpatient.
Speak about the psych ward a little bit. What's it like for it now? How old are you at this time? 19, 20?
I was 18. 18, yeah.
Okay, so what's it like for an 18-year-old to be on the flight deck, so to speak?
It's interesting. It's not like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but I like to imagine that it was. I remember there was a nurse in
there. I'm sure if you were on acid, you did imagine that.
Yeah, there was a nurse there that was basically just doing her job, and I kind of got into the habit of calling her Nurse Ratchet. yeah, that wasn't so good. That poor nurse. But yeah, it was really horrible. I remember the night that I got there, just crying. You know, just crying all night, you know, it was horrible. And all the friends that I'd had, like I had put them through a lot with this, you know, I mean, they used it and they drank too, but like I was really kind of out there.
Right.
So that happened. I kind of straightened out for a little while, got my stuff together, got a job, worked, drank a little, didn't use, skated by in treatment, you know, kind of like timed my drinking. That's
when
I was going to get tested. No, I had to go to 12-step meetings for this program, for this outpatient program.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, you know, the go late, leave early guy.
which is totally opposite of the suggestion.
Yeah.
Which is,
you know, come early, stay late. Which I do now, but let me get on with my story. So that happens. I get my stuff together a little bit. I go back to school. They let me back in. Within a month of being back at school, I've been arrested again, this time for drug possession. I'll end up getting arrested two more times.
Okay.
At school. They end up kicking me out again, which I end up appealing, and I get back into school. I end up getting kicked out of the school three times.
Wow.
Right. That's persistence. To say that the alcoholic has no willpower is a lie, because we definitely do. We just don't put it to the best use all the time. I got kicked out of the school 3 times. I got arrested 3 times. I had pretty bad consequences for somebody who hasn't really had it so rough. And I remember after the third time I got arrested, I had to move back home again. So basically, like, the same things keep happening to me over and over again. At this point, I'm suicidal. I'm thinking about how I can kill myself. I'm thinking, this is really funny. I went on that site. Remember Ask Jeeves? Now it's just ask.com. I went on ask.com, and I typed in, how can I kill myself painlessly? You know,
I'm sure you found some answers.
I found some answers, but I never really took it there. I kept thinking, how am I going to get a gun? How am I going to get a gun? But
thank God you didn't take it there.
Yeah, I never did. Either I was too scared or I was too brave or whatever. I don't really know the answer to that. But so I moved home again, tried drinking for a little while. It was not working. One night I went out, had some pitchers, nearly crashed my car, got home. The next day I had like the worst hangover ever. And I said, I can't do this anymore. So I called the outpatient program that I had gone to the first time around. There was a counselor there that I knew had been in the program, so I was going to talk to him. I picked up the phone. I called. Secretary picks up. I'm like, can I talk to Bruce? They're like, Bruce isn't with us anymore. He went out. He overdosed. He's dead.
Wow.
This dude had been sober for like 15 years.
Wow. That's a wake-up call for you.
Yeah, yeah. So I got myself into treatment. I did that. I started working in the program all the way. I had been in the program before, but really kind of did the half measures thing, which, you know, doesn't work.
How long were you in treatment for?
About 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is inpatient?
No, this is outpatient.
Outpatient?
Yeah,
okay.
This is outpatient.
Okay. How bad was your detox? Because not only were you on alcohol, but you used a lot of other drugs
as well, right? Yeah, yeah. It was uncomfortable. I mean, it wasn't so bad. I've heard really bad stories about detoxes. Mine was not so bad.
Okay.
I just felt kind of yucky for a week or two.
Right.
But once I came out of that, you know, because what it came to me for, it was like I was going to do 3 things. I was either going to kill myself quickly with a gun or whatever else. I was going to kill myself slowly by continuing to do the same things that I'm doing, or I was going to straighten out my life and try to, you know, make an effort at trying to have some kind of a regular life for myself.
Right.
And the only way I was going to do that is if I got sober, and it was plain to me that I wasn't going to get sober any other way than in AA, because I'd tried the moderation, I'd tried switching substances, tried all sorts of ways, but none of it worked. So AA is what worked for me. I got into the program. I got a sponsor immediately. I started working the steps right away.
Now, when you first came into AA, was your initial meeting a young people's meeting?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't.
Were there a lot of young people in that meeting?
No, there weren't. Where I got sober, there weren't really a whole lot of young people,
okay.
which was fine for me for a little while. I kind of needed like the example of like, you know, people who were grown up and they were sober.
Right.
And people who had been sober for a long time too. But, you know, it came to a point where I kind of needed some young people as an example, you know, because I mean, I see all these people who are adults and I mean, I guess I was kind of a young adult, but doing a poor job at being that. But I needed to kind of see people my age who were enjoying their lives and staying sober, you know. So I found some young people's meetings. I lived in Jersey. I still live in Jersey, but I found some young people's meetings both in Jersey and in New York. Started going to those.
And are they easy to find?
They're super easy to find. I mean, you look in the meeting book, it'll say young people, you know.
Cool.
If you go to a young people's meeting, you'll be crowded around by all sorts of young people who want to tell you where the rest of the young people's meetings are, because
cool,
they know what it's like to be young and getting sober. It's pretty scary. You think your life is over, You know, you're like, I was 22, and I had tried to get sober before at 18 and at 20. And each time I thought my life was completely over. It was like, what am I going to do? I'm a kid. I can't drink.
Right.
You know? But you find out that there's so much more to life. You know, I mean, what happened for me, you know, and this is in our literature in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, the book, the big book, is really just a method to guide you towards finding God, to having a spiritual experience.
Okay.
And, you know, in my previous attempts at sobriety, I'd never really gotten with the spiritual bit, and it's kind of hard to get with. I understand that. But for me, with my bottom, I hit a bottom that was, you know, conditions. I could have been homeless, which I wasn't. There are lots of other things that could have happened that didn't. But bottom line was I was spiritually just beaten. There was no more. I was done.
Right. Now, for the folks out there that may be new to 12-step meetings or AA or just may not understand, you're talking spirituality, which is not necessarily religion, correct?
No, I'm not talking about religion. And it's tricky because a lot of people get hung up on the fact when you talk about finding God or spiritual experience, spirituality and religion are two different things. There's something that a lot of people say, you know, religion is for people who are afraid to go to hell. Spirituality is for people who have already been there.
Right.
And I personally have been through my own kind of emotional, hell. Spirituality is not about some kind of specific deity. It's not about some kind of specific God. I'm not talking about a God that's old white man up in the clouds with a white flowing beard and a, you know, this big gown or whatever.
Right.
there's not any kind of really personification. I'm not going to get into what I think my higher power is, but the idea is that it's your personal idea. You arrive at that. And a lot of people, when they come in, you know, it says power greater than yourself initially.
Right.
A power greater than yourself, you know, is the room of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's tons of people in there who are sober and you're not. So they have something that you don't.
And that's what's cool about the programs is that you can choose your own conception of a higher power. You know, has anyone ever once in a meeting told you that your conception of God or a higher power has to be such and such?
No.
No.
People tell their own personal stories,
right,
which are different, but the gist of it is that I found the God that works for me, you know, and you do that however you need to do it. You don't have to call it God. In the big book, it's referred to as creative intelligence, power greater than yourself, higher power, or whatever, you know, just something that is not you, you know?
In other words, whatever works for you.
Exactly.
Right. Talk a little bit, if you would, about your sponsor, and especially in those early meetings when you first came in, what can a young person, or anybody for that matter, just coming into to Alcoholics Anonymous or any 12-step meeting, expect when they first come in?
Well, when I first came in, I think that it's really important to open your mouth and let people know that you're new and
okay,
that you're in pain and that you need help. I mean, that was big for me. When I... The meeting that I met my sponsor at, you know, I went and I shared Burning Desire time at the end of the meeting where, you know, for people who think they might drink or whatever, I opened my mouth and told people I was new and what I was dealing with and, you know, how it was really kind of hard for me. And
was that tough for you to do, to open up in front of a bunch of people that you didn't even know?
Sure. Yeah definitely.
But you did it and you were the better person.
I was sweating bullets. But that one moment when I did that, you know, that was what led up to me meeting a lot of the people who are part of my you know, my circle of sober buddies today.
Okay.
I met tons of people that are my closest friends right now at that meeting, including my sponsor. And my sponsor, he had gotten sober when he was really young. He got sober when he was 15.
Wow.
And his story is, you know, I mean, we all have our own specific bottoms, but his story was rough, and I was like, wow, I can't believe this. But what he shared at that meeting, it really spoke to me, you know, and he was talking about what his life is like today compared to what his life was like back then.
Right.
And completely different. And he talked about that spiritual experience, and you know, finding the higher power. And he talked about doing service and working the steps. And it just spoke to me, and I've been working with him ever since. You know, I just celebrated 3 years.
Very cool.
Recently.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, and I look back on 3 years ago. Things are very different. Things are very, very different now.
Now, do you sponsor other guys?
Not currently.
Okay.
I have sponsored guys since I've been sober.
What's that experience like? What's that do for you?
That is like, that's definitely the most powerful experience, because what it does is, I mean, you work these steps, you do this program, you stay sober, you go to meetings, you do all these things. But when somebody else asks you how you did it and you show them, and they start to get sober, and you watch them get sober, and you watch the change that happens in them, I mean, that kind of reconfirms for me that it actually works.
Right.
And it's amazing. Like, the things that I hear coming out of my mouth to these guys, you know, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, this guy who was such a degenerate, who got his car stuck on a median, you know, is talking to these people about God, you know? It's amazing. Yeah, and you know, right now I don't have any sponsees, and I definitely need some sponsees. I would love to have more, because taking a guy through the steps is, you know, the greatest gift I could have given to me. So,
what's it like for you today? Where are you in your life today? Did you end up going back to college?
Yes, I went back to school. I'm in school now. I have about a year and a half left to go. I work as well. I have a job that people say beyond your wildest dreams. Really, it is. I couldn't imagine having a better job. It's like all my interests that I had before I started drinking, everything kind of came back, and I got back into things. And the job that I have, I love. I've got my family back. I actually have friends in my life. Now, I had friends when I was sober. I mean, when I was drinking, but it was a different kind of friendship. It was more about what can I get from you,
right,
you know,
right.
or what can, you know, how can I leech off you, and how can I depend upon you,
right,
you know, or how can I dominate you? Today, it's these are partnerships, you know, with, like, these are real loving relationships, which is something that I never really had before.
That's cool. In the short time we have remaining, what would you say to the young person out there that's struggling with this addiction thing?
I would say that you should keep coming to meetings. You should get to a meeting if you haven't been to one yet. And just look at all the people who seem to have, you know, good, happy lives, you know, and do what they're doing.
Very cool. Justin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mike.